Good morning. Well, last Sunday was a lot of fun. I'm 79 years old, and they're still telling me I got to learn how to breathe. So, I got to work on breathing and talking and get that down. I'm supposed to take a pause of breathing every now and then. And so I got to learn to do that. And
we see you guys,
not to worry. Got to learn to do those kind of things. But so thank you for your prayers. And let's get together for our study of the Word of God and worship together. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to come here and pray together, worship together. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for the Word of God, getting to learn, study, understand. So, Father, we pray now this morning, glorifying to You, glorifying to Your Son. In His precious name we pray. Amen. Well, this is an interesting time as far as history of America is concerned. John Ince and I had a nice discussion this week that the ideal of mothers and fathers pretty much over as far as American history is concerned. And he said you shouldn't even be saying mother and father. That's not nice for you to be saying that. You need to be able to talk about it without saying that. Well, I'm old. It's still Dad. It's still Mom. And there's so many wonderful concepts in the Word of God. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord has given to you. So this is his thinking. I mean, learn from your mother and dad and study from them. Another one in Exodus says, let's put my glasses on here. That might help.
Herman, do you need that thing on?
No. Mm. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yeah, here we go. Exodus 21. And he who curses his father or curses his mother shall surely be put to shame or to death. The point is there that if you're cursing them, they're going to kill you. No, that's not what it says. God's going to step inside there. Hear my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Well, we have a lot of wonderful thoughts in this area. Honor your father and your mother. Should prolong your whole life in this respect. Your honor and your mother by obeying their truth, their teaching. Honor is a mother attitude toward your mothers, regardless of her person, regardless of her personal decisions. You are not your mother's judge. It's very important. And to honor your mother means to treat her graciously. To honor your mother means that you protect your mother. Not only do you not bring her harm, you are to protect her in her life. And I thought about spending the whole Sunday on Mother's Day, but we've got to move on in our studies. So let's stand together, and we're going to sing a hymn, Faith of our Mothers. Now, we don't have music for that. We don't have a thing for that. So, y'all, let's stand up and let's work on this together. Amen.
Faith of our mother's lavish faith, the fount of childhood's trust and grace. Oh, may thy consecration prove the wellspring of a nobler race. Faith of our mother's lavish faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our mother's guiding faith, for youthful longing, youthful doubt. How blurred our vision, blind our way. Thy providential care without. Faith of our mother's guiding faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our mother's Christian faith, in truth beyond our man-made creeds, still serve the home and save the church, and breathe thy spirit through our deeds. Faith of our mother's Christian faith, we will be true to thee till death.
I know that I've said this a few times. I don't need to tell how many times. But the love I have of my mother was that she was the one that brought me to Christ. She was not a church girl all the time. She was not a worker in all the church and that. But she loved the Lord. And when I was 7 years old, she gave me the gospel and told me to believe in Jesus Christ. We talked about it. And what was so interesting was I was ready to be baptized and this kind of thing, but she said, I don't know. So she made me go in and talk to the preacher. And he and I sat down and talked for about 30 minutes. And he walked out and said, he's ready. So very thankful to my mother. Everything else. But I'm very thankful, most of all, for bringing me to Jesus Christ as my Savior. Okay, let's see what we should do right now to me. Everybody that wants to say, in fact, anybody want to say anything about your mom? No? Okay. Yes.
Hi, Mom.
She's a mom, too. And you're blessed to have her sit with you.
Okay. Now let's talk about some prayers. First of all, we'll be in prayer for Tish. She's through with the surgery, and now go ahead.
Yeah, I called Leslie. I called him for an update on the way here, and her pain is finally under control. So
good.
She was having a little more pain.
Yes.
And she was able to get herself cleaned up a little for church this morning, so she's watching.
All right.
So Leslie said she got cleaned up for church, and just keep praying for continued healing and endurance to move on to the next step.
Chris was very happy that she was dressed up and cleanly for church.
Well, I didn't say dressed up. I said cleaned up.
You say the pain is done.
Yes, finally. That's why she was able to get up and do a little more. So she still needs more, energy and stuff, too. So.
And we need to be in continual prayer and thankful for Brian as a thing going in his world.
I think he's improving, getting stamina, doing well. I think he's going to just be over it now.
Okay.
Yeah, the report was that they got it all.
Good. Very good.
I think they'll be doing some 6 month checkups for a bit, like normal.
Very good. Okay.
Everybody's back.
He is not talking about his back.
Oh, okay. One thing at a time. Gotcha.
When I asked, he said, I'm fine.
Okay. Any other prayer requests that we need to talk about? Yes. Oh, yes.
First day travels. Trey and I are taking a little Texas road trip.
Oh, okay. All right, be careful.
Be gone for about 5 days.
Be careful.
Lots of driving. Well, not a ton of driving, but some driving.
All right.
When are you all leaving?
Sunday. Where are you going in Texas?
Fredericksburg area.
Oh.
All right. Very good.
The house, and we're going to stay there, but we're going to toodles all around all the little towns. We've never been. That's something I've always.
Oh, that's a great area. Yeah.
Get off her bucket.
Yes.
Do what?
Get off her bucket.
Yes.
It's not a prayer request. We just need sign-ups for cleaning and donuts. Everybody's had kind of a vacation from cleaning, and so we need to get back in the habit of this again.
Okay.
Sounds like a prayer request.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yes.
Just a quick update. Meaning Kim and me, tested putting one lesson on Rumble, and it was successful.
Yes. Good.
So we will start loading the rest.
Very good. Okay. Thomas, good to see you, young man.
Yeah.
How's everything going?
It's as hard as I thought it would be. Maybe a little more, but
you're going to make it.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Okay. Does everyone have their handout in All Wisdom Part 2? Anyone not have it? Okay. That's where we're going to be going. So let's begin with the word of prayer. For purpose of the prayer, God the Holy Spirit will open the truth of these things. Ah! Man, absolutely. Forgive me. Yes. Very good. Thank you. People, it's a privilege to give as unto the Lord. Chris Day was talking this morning about how some people in their area of their giving and just different attitudes about giving, and it's going to be just a joy. Just a joy to be a part of the plan of God in getting the gospel out, getting the communication, the doctrine out, and communication to each other, friendship with each other. It's a joy. So with these things in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. It is a privilege to give as unto the Lord. We're so thankful that we have something to give. The time may come, we won't have that much. But Heavenly Father, you will always provide us with what you would have us to give. Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will continue to use the spreading of the Word of God, this assembly. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, in All Wisdom, Part 2, and next Sunday we'll be ready to go into the next word. The next verse in Ephesians chapter 1, 9. So let's just prepare ourselves and get ready to listen to about wisdom. Let us pray. Father, it is so important that we do tell others about Christ. But now, Father, it is so important that we continue to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ in our lives. We are to grow in the Word. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name and for Christ's sake. Amen. The fool doth think he is wise, but the wise man knows himself to be a fool. That's from Shakespeare, and just want to begin with that attitude. Where the truly wise bows to the wisdom of God, not the things of the world, but the things of God. There are many passages on wisdom in the Word of God. Many Christians do not want to spend the time to study the Word of God. Do not want to spend that time. They want to spend time on witnessing about Jesus Christ. While that is part of our responsibility, they should be ready to grow in the Word of God, not just telling others of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to pause and work a minute. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. I'm going to do two different readings on it. First of all, the one that I like, the New American Standard. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ. Think about that. Leaving the elementary teaching about Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Not on those things anymore. Let's move on. Now, to get you some emotional impact in the reading of the Bible, let's look at the Living Bible, living on this one word. I love the way it writes it. Let us stop going over the same old group. I love that. Let us stop going over the same old group again and again. Always teaching through those first lessons about Christ. Got to move on from those. Let us go on instead to other things and become mature in our understanding as strong Christians ought to be. Surely, we don't need to speak worthy further about the foolishness of trying to be saved or by being good or about the necessity of faith in God. You've got to know those things. It's time to move on. The humor way, I guess, to say it is in school. You start studying algebra. You gotta lay down all that other stuff. Let's get on to algebra. Let's get it down. Get it understood. And, so it is with this. Let's lay the foundation down now. You should have it down. So solidly. It's time to move on. If you truly want wisdom from the Word of God, you have to move on in the study of the Word of God. People, we should always be ready to see in season and out of season to tell others of the gospel of salvation by grace through faith. But we are to grow in the Word of God. We should grow in the wisdom of God. A very important passage on this I want you to go over in your mind. Philippians chapter 3, 13 and following. Brothers, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, I do hope you are pressing toward the goal for the prize. I want to repeat that. I hope you are pressing toward the goal for the prize. Now, what's the prize? The prize after your death in the judgment seat of Christ. We should desire as much wisdom as we can during time here on earth. It is not just a matter of going to church, but pressing on toward perfection as to life and in the presence of Jesus Christ. In other words, let me just tell you what this is talking about. In heaven, multitude of Christians not going to get much. There'll be some who will work with Christ, be working in different levels of Christ throughout all universe, death and eternity. Not just it's over. So where are you going to be for eternity? You want to follow on? Get on? This is how you do it. Now, we've already started last week with a few, so let's just kind of quickly go through and then move on in our study. One, what is wisdom? Wisdom is skill in our endeavor. Skill is all the affairs of life. Skill in the moral decisions in life. Skill in the spiritual decisions made in life. Roman numeral 2, where can wisdom be found? Wisdom in the world, wisdom from God. Those are the two decisions. James 3:17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And then you go through the reading of those eight things again. Then we go into the next part, Job chapter 28:12. Now, think about Job. It's the first book God gave us. There is so much in it. And its heart is on wisdom. Getting wisdom. So let's take a look. Job 28:12. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Where then does wisdom come from? Where does it come from? And where is the place of understanding? True wisdom can be found in God alone. If you were not able, whatever reason, not to make it this morning in Chris's message, I highly, highly, highly recommend you do it. It's on the same type of subject. Take care of your advantage of your life. Now, true wisdom can be found in God alone. In other words, what he was talking about this morning, happiness, joy. Where is happiness and joy? Working at work? Getting things done in the earth? No. It's happiness thinking. I am in Christ. I'm saved forever. That was so beautiful. I really recommend it. True wisdom can be found in God alone. The sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient God that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Bible is the creator and only source of true wisdom. It's the only source, true wisdom. And He alone reveals this wisdom. So I just want to say, if you're a parent, this is where you want to get your children's wisdom. Don't spend all your time in school. Don't try to do it all that way. It's in the Word of God. This is where you want to get it. Now, let's go through Proverbs, one of the great chapters and passages on wisdom is in Proverbs. I love Job. Let's look at Proverbs. Now, there are several places in Proverbs, but let's just start in Proverbs 8:22. The Lord possessed me. Now, he's talking about wisdom. This is what, the Lord possesses me wisdom at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting, I, wisdom, was established. From the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth, when there were no depths of me, wisdom, was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I, wisdom, was brought forth. While he, the Son of God, was not yet made, the earth has not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world. When he, Jesus Christ, established the heavens, I, wisdom, was there. When he, Jesus Christ, inscribed a circle high on the face of the deep. Now, when he, Jesus Christ, inscribed a circle around the face of the deep, he was there. Now look at Proverbs 8:28. When he, Jesus Christ, made, Proverbs 8:28, when he, Jesus Christ, made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he, Jesus Christ, set for the sea its boundaries, so that the water would not transfer his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I, wisdom, was beside him as a master workman. And I, wisdom, was daily his delight. Rejoice always before him. I want to repeat that. This morning, Chris was talking about joy. Rejoices always before him. Rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having made delight in the sons of men. Let's just jump to Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Daniel said, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him." It is He who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men. That's what you want to be as a wise person. Get the wisdom from God. And knowledge to men of understanding. God's economy. The rich get richer. That's a God's economy, not man's. God's. The rich get richer. The one who is wise turns to God and asks God. God freely gives wisdom. I pray that you read through these verses. You begin to grasp the value of wisdom from God. And that you desire to grasp His wisdom. Let's look at Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. Now let's go to Roman number 3. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Okay, just to get you there, as you're going through and understanding it, we're now going to move to fear. Fear is very important in the study of wisdom. So let's see how this works together. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Here we begin to see the relationship of wisdom and fear. Job 28:28. And to man He said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Repeat that. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The Hebrew word for fear, yah, this is a positive in life, not a negative. We are not to walk around in fear all day long. In fact, one of the most informing truth passages is found in Exodus chapter 20. Let's take a look. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. For God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of Him may remain with you, so that, listen to this, so that you may not fear. God brings His power to cause us not to sin because of Him. Not going to sin because of Him. To be afraid to sin, but also to be in awesome in love with Him. What is going on here? In a way, it sounds like double talk. And it is as if we do not correctly understand what is being said. Both occurrences of the word translated fear, both occurrences of the word translated fear can mean almost the same thing. Fear not means do not go around living in fear that God is going to get you, but do be in fear of His righteousness, His righteous indignation if you sin. Unfortunately, not many children are reared with a correct understanding of this verse. I knew my mother loved me, caused cared for me. But I also knew to fear here if I disobeyed her. I knew that. And so it is with God. We are not to live in the fear of God. In fact, we should go in the love of Him. Afraid of Him. But we are to be afraid of sinning against Him. This is the correct teaching in regard to the police. We are not to live in fear of them. Freak out every time we see a policeman. But we should be in fear if we have disobeyed the law. Many parents teach their children to fear the police all the time, which is most unfortunate. They should not fear the police, but they should be in fear of breaking the law. Now, Exodus 20:20. Let's take a look again. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of Him may remain with you, so that you may not sin." It's Mother's Day, so I know growing up, think about it. We're going to go do this or do that, and this is not what she's going to want. I'm going to get in trouble. You know what? It's not worth it. Or it is worth it. Sometimes it was worth it in my mind. But the ideal I'm making here is this is the deal. God will discipline us if we sin. Be aware of it. We should fear His righteous wrath when we sin. But have maximum awe of Him throughout our lives. Now back to Job 28:28. "And to man He said, behold the fear of the Lord." Maximum respect. Maximum reverence. That's the idea of behold the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Hosea 6:6. "For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." Almost spend a whole time on this. Take your time. Delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice. Doing things, giving money, even telling others about Him. All these things. Or do we delight in Him, of royalty in Him? See, not to sin is not only to be in fear of Him to sin, but to have understanding of wisdom so that we will not sin. An in-depth study would take us back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If we did a time study correctly of good and evil. Do you know the difference between knowledge of good and evil? To depart, that is to refrain from evil, is understanding. This, of course, demands that one knows from truth, from evil, what is evil. Then, to refrain from evil. It's good to know it, and then refrain from it. Simply stated, anything that counters good against God, God's divine order, is evil. I kind of messed that up. Simply stated, anything that counters goes against God's divine is evil. Whether it is physical evil, or moral evil, or spiritual evil, it goes against God's sign, design, and God's will, with the greatest of these being present of false gospel. There is a multitude of preachers who would not even think of committing certain sins. There's a lot of preachers that wouldn't do that. But they stand up at the pulpit and proclaim a lie on how to be saved, beckoning people to do some acts of good, works, something for God, like rituals, mental works, like repentance, confession, or to be saved, and have the depth of evil to eventually come, to eventually say that God does not want your faith. He desires your works. How foolish is that? Truth of God in every aspect. Let's look at Psalm 111, verse 10, is so rich and a warning to all of us. Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. By the way, there are a lot of verses in the Bible that deal with this, that start this way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. First, the opening words of verse 10 are repeated in the Word of God, throughout other places of the Word of God. For example, Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Knowledge is simply knowing. Wisdom is to know so as to make sound judgments. Let me repeat that. Knowledge is simply knowing. Wisdom is to know so as to make sound judgment. Instruction is detailed information telling how something should be done. A thinking verse, he gives the three words for building a house. These three words, one in one verse, gives the words for building a proper house or life. Proverbs 24:3. By wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, it is established. And by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So let's look at what we have here. Building. Wisdom, to know so as to make sound judgment. Understanding, having insight or good judgment. Established, to make firm or cause to stand up in strong position. From the Word of God, you will learn how to structure a life that will glorify Jesus Christ. We just started this wisdom in Psalm 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We saw this in Proverbs 1:7. So now let's look at Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge is the Holy One of understanding. So here is how you want to spend the days reading the Word of God, the Bible. Out of fear, begin to know of wisdom and to have understanding of God. This morning, Cliff did a great job. One of the things that I do with young people especially, and things go on, and anyone having trouble in life, upset, worry, these kind of things, these fear. And he said, study the Psalms. And I smiled because I lay down to start reading Psalm 10 to Psalm 22. Just read through it slowly, prayerfully through it, and go over it and over it and over it. Get the truth that is there. Let's move to Proverbs 4:7. The beginning of wisdom is acquired wisdom. And while all your acquirers get understanding. Another way of wording the Living Bible of Proverbs 4:7. Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. Now that's just about as simple as it can make for the kid. Now see, I like the study of the Bible, the New American Standard, the beginning of wisdom is acquired wisdom. Now, this one says, getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. And with your wisdom, develop common sense and good judgment. It's a good way to read it. See? What is so interesting is this is the beginning, is the first word in the Bible. How about that? This is the first word, the beginning, is the first word in the Bible. In the Proverbs 4:7, the New American Standard, the beginning of wisdom. Go to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. You don't have in the Hebrew. You've got beginning. Beginning, God created. The word introduces the point in time or beginning. If we take this and put it in this Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the beginning of knowledge. See what we want to do here? Going over, understand what we see right doing in Genesis 1:1. Now take it into the Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom, that's the beginning of knowledge. Okay? Now, 28:28, continuing. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The Hebrew word for fear and wisdom are the same Hebrew words in Job 28:28 and in Psalm 111:10. What is different is the Hebrew word translated Lord in both passages, Job 28:28, Psalm 111:10. In Psalm 111:10, it is the proper name of God, Yahweh. While in John 28:28, the Hebrew word is Adonai. You got Hebrew in Adonai and Yahweh, and then in Job of Adonai. Yahweh is referred to holy name of God, not to be spoken, while Adonai was used to refer to God. Just refer to God. So one's his name. It's his name, Yahweh. The other is referring to God. This word, Yahweh, is used exclusively of God. This distinguish refers to the supreme authority and power of God. Adonai was to be used in prayer. Adonai is more a declaration than a name. It is like Jesus Christ. Christ is a description, whereas Jesus is a name. Yahweh is a name of God, whereas Adonai is a description. The difference. By analogy, before Moses was given the name Yahweh, once again argued that the name used for God as was El or El Shaddai, in spite, even in the name El Shaddai, there can actually occur two different words. The name El and Shaddai is descriptive. There are two different things there. Now, either way, the maximum respect and reverence and, yes, fear of Him is the beginning of wisdom. The maximum respect and reverence and, yes, fear of Him is the beginning of wisdom. Here is added that this is the beginning of wisdom. All other thinking that follows after a reverence of the Lord, for example, respect of His divine order, in respect of the male and female bodies, is wisdom. It is almost harmonious, humorous. How foolish so many have become in our society today. Not only do they approve and encourage homosexuality and lesbianism, but now they encourage girls to think they are boys and boys to think they're girls. Principle? Once you start from God's design, order of things, there is no limit to how foolish and absurd you can come. Once you depart from God's design, there's no limit to how foolish and absurd you will become. You depart from evil to understanding. Many people who are to be so honorable to referring to the wisdom of God. Let's move back over now and go to Roman numeral 4. Fallen man does not know the value of wisdom. Fallen man, that's a sinful state when we come into the world, do not know the value of wisdom. And as to the state that man is in after the fall and in imputation of Adam's original sin to our imminent inherent sin nature, Job describes man's ignorance of wisdom. Let's take a look. Job 28:12. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. It's not found in the world. The deep says, it is not in me. And the sea says, it is not with me. We study Genesis 1:2, that the deep and the sea is the place where God cast all the fallen demons. Verse 15, pure gold cannot give it for exchange. Nor can silver be weighted as its price. That's how valuable the wisdom of God is. It cannot be valued in the gold or opium, in precious onyx or sapphire. Gold or glass cannot equal it. Nor can it be exchanged for articles of fine gold. Gold and crystal are not to be mentioned, and the acquisition of wisdom is above that of pearls. The topaz and Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? Thus, it is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the sky. Abaddon and Death say, with our eyes we have heard a report of it. But that's all. Now let's go to Roman numeral 5. Wisdom is free, but grace through faith. Since it cannot be found anywhere on this planet, on our universe, and all the wealth of earth will not buy it, then where is it to be found? Let's start our answer with this. Wisdom is free, like eternal life. It is free, like the filling of the Holy Spirit. It is free, by grace through faith alone. Number 6. All things were created by wisdom of God. Psalm 104:24. O Lord, how many are your works, the countless works of the creation? In wisdom you have made them all. Got it? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your possessions are by your creations. Now, why is this important in our study? Take a look. To deny creation is to deny the wisdom of God. We live in a day and a time when everyone, teachers, schools, deny creation. To deny creation is to deny the wisdom of God. Romans 1:22, professing to be wise, they became fools. Very simple, very declared statement. And dear people, this holds true in all categories of evil. Remember that evil is a rejection of divine order in the design of creation. I want to repeat that. Yesterday, John Henson, I spent some time talking about what is evil. So let's just read this again. Possessing to be wise, that's fools. Now, take a look. That evil is a rejection of divine order in the design of creation. So, whether we are talking of spiritual issues like the gospel, or or moral wisdom, or academic wisdom, or political, or any and all categories of decisions that we have to make throughout the day. God has a plan, a will, a design for all His creation according to His wisdom. This is why it is so important that we know that God created this and all the universities. And He created this world and the design of it. Jeremiah 10:12. It is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom. He established the earth by His power, established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding, He has stretched out the heavens. This is why Satan must get man to believe in evolution. This is why this is without design, without purpose, without having the wisdom of God. Now we close with point seven. He had seen the importance of our thinking correctly by the fear of the Lord and His wisdom. But what about your mouth? What about your speaking? Psalm 37:29. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks truth, justice. Psalm 49, my mouth will speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart will be understanding. It's got to be your attitude. You open your mouth. It should be the wisdom of God. Now, in our study of Ephesians, look at Ephesians 4:29 coming up. I don't know when, but it's coming up. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such out of word as is good word for edification, according to the need of the moment, say that it will give grace to those who hear it. We'll close in Psalm 119, beginning in verse 33. Teach me the way of your statutes, Lord, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. I want to do the same thing, but use another Bible reading, the reading of the Living Bible. Just tell me what to do. I love that. Just tell me what to do, and I will do it, Lord. As long as I live, I'll wholeheartedly obey. Make me walk along the right paths, for I know how delightful they really are in my soul. God add His blessing to the reading of His word. Let's close in a word of prayer. We've just touched your wisdom, the understanding of your wisdom and your word. Pray, Father, we will spend your wisdom every day in our lives. We read, study, think. The creation. He created us. You make us. You saved us. Your wisdom. Our death, your wisdom. After death, your wisdom. For all eternity, your wisdom. A mother, your wisdom. We bow, Heavenly Father, to your wisdom. Give us the understanding of these things and our study. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.